Blog Talk Radio.
Om Shabbat Shalom, Holy Way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, Holy Way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. And I am the light within your soul. In the essence of truth and right, love makes the circle whole. And here we stand in line, waiting for some sacred sign. But to find the balance is the purpose of this time. To restore the balance of the universal mind. And in the presence of my Lord of light and love, everything I see aspiring to be free. And when I call to thee and come on bended knee, surrender to the all-pervading light and love. Reflections of the one surrounding me with love. And I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. Within and without, above and below, yeah. East, west, north and south, I sense your presence. Without and within, below and above, yeah, yeah. East, west, north and south, I sense your presence. I sense your presence. Presence of my Lord of light and love, everything I find in tune with the divine. And here we stand in line, waiting for some sacred sign. But to find the balance is the purpose of this time. Restore the balance of the universal mind. And I am the light within your soul. In the essence of truth and right, love makes the circle whole. And when I call to thee and come on bended knee, surrender to the all-pervading light and love. Reflections of the one surrounding me with love. For to find the balance is the purpose of this time. To restore the balance of the universal mind. And I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, Holy Way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, Holy Way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, Holy Way of the Most High. Om Shabbat sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, holy angel of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. I sense your presence.
It's Holly with Healing Jewels. So, what are healing jewels? Healing jewels are healing crystals charged with Sujok acupuncture schemes that prevent and release a wide range of ailments and disease naturally and with no needles. From arthritis to migraines, cancer to diabetes, the healing process begins when you wear healing jewels. We have a 30-day money-back guarantee, so all you have to lose is your disease. If you can't afford healing jewels, nominate yourself or a loved one for free healing jewels on healingjewels.com, J-O-U-L-E-S, as in energy. Namaste.
Thank you for joining me here tonight on Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. My name is Jessie Ann Nichols-George, and I'm your hostess this evening. The music you were listening to there at the beginning of the show is I Sense Your Presence, and it's by Shimshai, great group, an individual that I met in the Sedona, Arizona area several years back, and he's wandering around, touring the world, loving his dream, having a great life, so I'm very, very happy and for him for doing that, and very happy that he's allowing me to use his music here on the show. Welcome back to those that are returning, as well as those that are tuning in for the very first time. We have several people here, and by the way, our show does broadcast live in three additional places besides Block Talk. It is streaming live right now on TalkStream Live, StreamFinder, and PIN, or Pair Encounters Network, and I welcome everyone listening through those channels as well, and I definitely appreciate tonight's sponsor, Holly Hallowell, with Healing Jewels, so definitely check out her website there, healingjewels.com. Here at Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour, I look at different ways that compassion exists in our lives, how to remove our blocks, resistances, frustrations, and more. Some weeks I will be discussing different aspects of how compassion is in and affects our life and the different areas of compassion. Some weeks we're doing more exercises and practical implementations, and many times I've got guests on the show. Tonight's a perfect example of that, as I've got Darcy Cleone coming on tonight, and that way you get a chance to find out how other people's work fits in and works with compassion. And then I've also got different musical artists that I highlight along the way. Last year I had Stephen Halpern and Peter Cater on the show, and I'm working on a few other wonderful musical guests to bring in this year as well. So you'll have to stay tuned and see who those end up being. In my own work, I focus on helping people find and use compassion in their everyday lives. I've created the Genesis Clearing Statement, and that's something you can always catch in our archives. I've also authored four books. The most recent is You, Me, Life Dreams and its companion workbook. And then I've also got my first two books, Activating Compassion and also Activating Compassion, the workbook. In addition, I've created the Compassion Tour, which is a multi-state nationwide tour, including workshops, retreats, seminars, book signings, and fundraising events. And you can follow all the events to register for on and off of the Compassion Tour at jessieannnicholsgeorge.eventbrite.com. And there's actually a great set of about 8 events up there right now that you're going to want to start looking at and taking advantage of, all coordinating over the next year in the southern Utah area. So that's going to be really, really nice because that's going to be near the Zion National Park region. Just a reminder, if you enjoy the show this evening, make certain that you tell your friends, family, and all those great social media buddies that you've got out there and anybody else that you feel inspired with, because I know when I share stuff, there's almost always somebody that's responding going, this is just what I needed. And you never know who that person's going to be. So if you share it, you just might be changing a life. They also can go to my Activating Compassion page, by the way, to listen to any archives. So if they're not catching the live show, they can either use this same link that you use to get into the show, or on my webpage, jessieannnicholsgeorge1.com. They can find all of the archives there as well. And then in addition to that, all Main Street Universe shows are available as a podcast at iTunes, absolutely free, also at tunein.com. And also, they can be found on my YouTube channel. So lots of options there. And it's kind of nice on the YouTube channels as well because you get that little bit of visual. You get a little something to watch while you're listening in there. Now, before we get started, those of you that have listened in before know that I like to delve into the 72 Names of God by Yehuda Berg. And what I do is I get a little message here every week for us, and then this message gets posted on my page of the Main Street Universe tab on my website. And in doing that, you can always go back and reflect on it during the week and re-look at it if you'd like. And let's see what Yehuda's message is tonight. We have contacting departed souls. And I think this is going to actually work really good with our guest tonight, who's actually been through some near-death experiences, and she's going to be sharing some of these different experiences she's had along the way in overcoming things. Now, with Yehuda's message, he's got here a little message that says, death is a sham. The souls of our departed loved ones continue to live on in a reality far more authentic than our illusory world. Through this name, we make contact with the souls of family and friends who have passed on. And the insight that he provides here is, the human soul continues to rise to higher levels of existence after it leaves this plane of existence. This ascension can sometimes be difficult if a soul has accumulated undesirable baggage as the result of reactive behavior during his or her lifetime. Through this name, we can help elevate the souls of our loved ones in a pleasing and pleasant manner. We also receive counsel and messages from those whose love for us still radiates in the upper world. And I think that's a really appropriate thing that we have coming up because we're just getting ready to head into a Saturn retrograde, and this is a big thing. We definitely want to take a look at those reactive actions with Mars retrograde and Saturn retrograde coming up. We want to make sure we're clearing that emotional baggage and not adding to it during that time. Now, the meditation he gives with us tonight is evoke the memories of loved ones who have passed on. Surround them with the light of this name. Meditate to elevate their souls to ever higher levels in the spiritual worlds. Open yourself up to receive their guidance and support. And the way that this name is pronounced, or the name pronunciation of it, is Chet Bet Vav, and the common name is Contacting Departed Souls, and that's our message from Yehuda. Again, you can check that out during the week. It'll get posted within an hour after the show on my website, JessieAnnNicholsGeorge1.com. It's on my page of the Main Street Universe tab. Now, looking into our topic here tonight, because we're definitely looking at some of these releasing aspects here, have you felt those times that life just feels heavy? And I think there's been a lot of people that have been feeling that lately. Do you feel like the life is sometimes being pulled right out of you? Have you been in those phases of feeling like things are taking way more effort than they should? Do you get totally drained after being around some people or in some situations? If we are honest with ourselves, we can all probably say we have been in these spaces at some point in our lives. Lately, I have had many people feel that they have exhausted themselves with people and situations in their life. They are tapped out, giving all they could to something and don't feel it going anywhere. The challenge in many of these situations is that there's not anything per se wrong, however, they are just totally exhausted. When we see this type of thing, it often happens with those that are the healing energy in a relationship, group, or situation. These days, many are having to learn the skill of disconnecting and still providing an unconditional love. When we are ready to truly release something, we will be able to do so with love, honoring ourselves in the process. Oftentimes, people fall into a belief that because they are a light worker, starseed, healer, or otherwise aware of energy, that they have to stick with something until it is so-called healed or fixed. Yet the real key seems to be in making the offering and not worrying about whether it is accepted or not. It is caring about what someone is going through, but not getting connected and absorbed by the energy of others and situations. This type of unconditional loving allows everything to flow freely, whereas creating attachments to people and things limit our possibilities and creates a drain on us due to taking on other people's concerns. It can also be easy for others to attach to those with energy instead of learning to tap into their own energy. This is because the energy feels good, but they have not yet learned how to give it to themselves. This is much like a baby that relies on nursing from its mother. However, at some point, the child learns how to feed itself, which is richer and more rewarding for all involved. Darcy Cleome helps people to release belief patterns that no longer serve them. Doing so oftentimes creates healing, as well as removing the blocks and obstacles that keep us locked into cycles and roles. Her work helps people to learn to be free and empowered on their own. The more we raise our consciousness, the more important it becomes to release what no longer serves us. For in doing so, we open the door to unlimited potential. We allow things to unfold in amazing ways, blossoming with beauty. When we contain things by holding on to them, especially when they are no longer serving us, they can turn destructive. This would be similar to holding on to rotten food. There's no more nourishment in it, and to eat it anyway will make you very sick. To even keep it around will create health issues for you. Are you letting go of what no longer serves you? Are you willing to see the beauty of watching things grow instead of trying to control them? Are you willing to step away when you have done all that you can, freeing yourself to expand? This week, our guest focuses on a component of compassion that is related to the aspect in my books of seeing with your heart. This reminds us that our heart is ready to bring us an abundance of joy if we are willing to let go of our pain. I'm going to take a short break, and when we return, I will have Darcy Cleome with us, and she will be sharing her work in helping people release toxic emotions, and actually that's not her work, but helping them release patterns and other things that she does, and she has a multitude of gifts in there. And the song I've got for you during the break tonight is Wells Cathedral. It's by Claire Hedin. And if you'd like to find out more about Claire's music, you can do so at www.clairehedin.com. I believe I've got that at the bottom of the show description. That's CLAREHEDIN.com. We'll be back soon.
Hi, it's Holly with Healing Jewels. Let's face it, our pets are our children. They are members of our family. And with their increased aging compared to humans, it's heartbreaking to watch our loved ones grow old and struggle with illness. I am so blessed to be able to help animals heal with Healing Jewels. That's right, this new therapy, which programs acupuncture into crystals, works for pets as well. Just attach the charm to their collar and let the healing begin. If your pet doesn't wear a collar, that's okay, because Healing Jewels crystals can also charge the water your pet drinks, so even birds and lizards can be healed. When I hear the success stories, it makes me so happy, not only that the pet is healing, but that the placebo effect is not a factor. This is real healing. This is Healing Jewels. Check us out at healingjewels.com. J-O-U-L-E-S, as in energy. Namaste.
Welcome back. You are listening to Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour, and my name is Jessie Ann Nichols, George. I'm your hostess this evening, and you were just listening to a song by Claire Hedin called Wells Cathedral, and again, I believe I've got her email, or not her email, but her website address at the bottom of the show description. That's www.clairehedin.com, C-L-A-R-E-H-E-D-I-N.com. And I also did a really great interview with Claire, if you'd like to check that out, that's got a variety of her music on the show as well. And you can check that out in the archives. But for tonight's guest, that's who we're going to focus on now, and that is Darcy Cleome. She is the owner of the Amethyst Healing Center, spiritual teacher, multidimensional healer, channel, and writer. She has a background in transformational technologies, massage therapy, aromatherapy, and planetary healing. A near-death, out-of-body experience awakened an ability to see energy and communicate with spiritual beings. Darcy has had her own private practice for 12 years as a massage therapist, body worker, and energy healer, and has owned and operated Amethyst Healing Center for 7 years. She has collaborated with and consciously channels the Ascended Masters and the Angelic Realm. Darcy provides intuitive readings, chakra and aura clearing, or soul-level spiritual healing. Her courses include setting up a spiritual practice, communicate with your guides, angels and masters and master teachers, manifestation and creation techniques, activate your divine blueprint, chakra, aura, karma, and DNA clearing, contracts and Akashic records, and soul retrieval. She also does 2-day intensives at Cambria Holistic Retreat and Spiritual Hostel, and Darcy seeks to empower others to help them release belief patterns that no longer serve them and to provide spiritual tools to help others access their own unique abilities. And she's also recorded her own meditation CD and has authored The Way of the Awakened. And we're looking at different work that she does here tonight. And again, you can learn more about her work at www.amethysthealingcenter.com. I'm going to go ahead and get her mic opened up here tonight. Welcome, Darcy. It's great to have you here on Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour.
Wow, what an introduction. Thank you, Jessie. It's great to be here.
It's a pleasure, and I have to say, you know, Darcy's getting ready to go take this absolutely fantastic trip outside of the U.S. and just have an amazing time coming up. So I'm greatly appreciating that she's giving us her time in the midst of preparing for all of that right now. It's a real pleasure to have you here.
Well, thank you. I am getting ready to take a trip to Japan, which is quite exciting. I've been there several times before, and I think this trip is going to be even more special or important because of the devastation that they've had there recently, and it's part of my planetary healing work that I'll plan on doing while I'm there visiting. And, so I'm very excited about making that trip. I think it's really vital at this time.
Definitely, and I think that that's going to bring a lot of, like you say, interesting energy and more intense in some ways. Well, Darcy, I know I gave people an introduction about you, but I would love for you to share with our listeners a little bit about, who Darcy is, how did she come to get into all this work that I just mentioned you do?
Okay, well, I'd love to tell you. Actually, it pretty much started back in 1986 with the birth of my oldest son. I wasn't doing so well, and I had a near-death experience where I seizured and had this whole experience outside of my body. And really, there's a whole story there, and I talk about it in my book if you're interested in the details. But really what I took away from that is that I'm not my body, and I can dwell as myself outside of that. And that's really what began my journey, my soul searching and my journey. It didn't start out as doing the work that I'm doing. There was a lot of struggles and different experiences that I had to get through being a new mom of a premature baby and having to deal with their dimensional reality while struggling with the things that I was seeing and, you know, hoping that I wasn't going insane and trying to manage a regular life when having a foot in both worlds at that point. It took me some time, and after some years and some growing and developing and working with what was going on with me, my abilities, I found ways to use it that could help people. I did have my moments where I thought that I wanted to be done with it all because I couldn't figure out what the purpose was behind it. And gradually, as time went on and I was more ready to accept what was going on, I was shown ways, and that's when I got into massage therapy and realized that I could help people by touch, that I got information that way. And it just evolved into where I am now. And, of course, that was in 86, so it's been quite a few years. I've been working in the healing business, starting out as intuitive massage therapist, going into medical intuitive and calling it energy work and kind of evolving as, you know, people evolved around me and were able to, you know, be okay with what I was calling what I was doing. And so, yeah, it's been, let's see, I've been on the coast since 01. And since 01, I had my own little private massage and energy healing shop. And I also worked for a body care center in San Luis Obispo. And I kind of worked my way up the coast. I started in Oceano and then went to San Luis Obispo for about 6 years. And then I opened the healing center and really came out of the closet in 07. And now the healing center, it's in Cambria, which is a quaint little artist village on the central coast of California near Hearst Castle. And we've now developed a collective at Amethyst, and we have myself and 8 others that are extremely talented in different healing modalities. And so, yeah, that's kind of my journey, kind of a quick overview. there to hear in a few minutes. and then, of course, my newest adventure has been writing. And the one book that you've mentioned here this evening is The Way of the Awakened, which is my personal journey. And that's the book that I'm quite excited about. I also, and it kind of seems like I'm writing these 3 books at the same time, I've also got an accompanying workbook, which I felt was really interesting when I was hearing you talk about the books that you've written. I'm like, oh, that sounds familiar. So there's also going to be, I was like, wow, okay. There's also going to be an accompanying workbook, and it's called The Art of Awakening, and it will be coming out several months after The Way of the Awakened. And it just goes into more detail for those who want to expand either in their business or, you know, take it to the next level or just tap into their personal psychic energy or their healing. So it's just delve a little deeper into that work. And then I'm also going to be coming out with a meditation book called Dream Awake. And it's going to be a sweet little book that you can just kind of slip in your bag and take to the beach or take on a walk and just kind of read yourself into a nice meditative state. And they seem to be kind of writing themselves at the same time. I found when I started on the workbook, I went back and did more on the regular book. And then as I'm writing the workbook,
the meditation book is also getting written, because the meditations from the workbook is what I'm going to make the little meditation book out of. So it's like, okay, so I've got these three books at once that I'm working on, and that's kind of interesting.
It is kind of interesting how different pieces come together, because I find that when I write that sometimes I'm making notes for a future book, or I know the last set that I wrote, I ended up writing them simultaneously because my thought patterns were right there and it just was moving together in that direction. So it's interesting, but each one seems to take its own little flow to it, I find, when I'm creating and developing and working on those different projects. And I think it's great that you have all of these different components and pieces, and to listen to you having taken these different steps along the way, from being under somebody else and then branching out a little bit more and then going into your own thing. And that is a huge step. And for people that don't know Cambria, Cambria is a very small town, and it's kind of a summer tourist community in a way, near Hearst Castle, as you said. And what was interesting, when I first started connecting with Darcy, I found out that her shop was like just a couple of doors down from a store I used to have in Cambria that was focused on and spiritual things. So it was really exciting for me to hear that there's so much more blossoming out there now than when I was there, because I was like the only metaphysical kind of shop, and there were like 26 different churches in the town. And
well, there still is churches. Yeah,
yeah,
lots of churches, lots of real estate offices. And,
and you used to say,
yeah,
restaurants, relaxation, and gosh, there was some real estate
yeah,
for the three R's for Cambria.
That's exactly
it. Which I think
is,
I think it's still pretty much true that those are the three R's for Cambria.
Yes, I think you're right. I think you're definitely right.
I want to delve that tonight, Darcy, into, because you kind of touched on your book a little bit, but I want to delve into an aspect, because our topic is based around releasing, you know, what no longer serves you. And I felt like a big part of that out of the work that you do has to deal with our belief patterns. So I thought maybe you could talk with us a little bit about what are belief patterns.
Yes, well, yes, definitely. That's huge. Belief patterns, and this is, I would say this is kind of how I feel that they happen or they begin, and it can come several different ways. Our belief patterns can be something that's been developed in early childhood from our parents, teachers, you know, siblings, how we're raised, our environment. They can come through past life situations where we bring this energy through with us. And I believe it derives from, at some point, whether in this life or another, we make decisions under duress where we decide to be less than who we truly are at a soul level. And we start operating from this lesser frequency of ourselves. It's like we give up a piece of who we are. And a lot of times it's to survive certain situations that otherwise we wouldn't be able to get through. You know, it can be that we've had, you know, traumatic events. It can even be, you know, monumental events, even if they're good ones, where we make decisions and we operate from being less than. And maybe if it doesn't get cleared by the end of a certain lifetime, it can follow us through, and it can show up in karma. It can also be something that, you know, is in our bloodline, our DNA, cultural, different ways that these belief patterns get set, and then it just becomes our truth. And the work that I do, I believe it's more holistic in nature. So I call myself a multidimensional healer, and I think by multidimensional, it's more of a holistic type of healing. It heals on all levels, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. So it can track an issue back to its source, whether it's past life or however it comes in. And we gently, from a very detached space, I help my client get into a very relaxed, tranquil space energetically, and then we maybe press into the issue slightly so that they can see the benefit of that situation. They can see the whole story, the players in the story, and why possibly it needed to happen for their learning and for their benefit. They see all those juicy little morsels that obviously they missed because they, created this pattern out of it. And so they learn maybe to make different choices. They see why this particular event occurred, and then they're able to release it. And it releases all the negative energy around these patterns and beliefs on all levels. So when we do this release, it's releasing it from your cellular memory. It's releasing it from, your DNA. It can clear your family line back and forward through your children. Once you heal, you're healing for all those that you're close to, love, and involved with. It can clear up past life lessons, and it can just kind of like bring you more level in your karmic lessons, which I believe we have blueprints before we come in our life, and there's certain things that we plan on learning or bringing to date. And so this kind of healing, it can be intense, and but I think once you go through something that's that kind of an intense release, really nothing else will you settle for. It's something that when you're ready to do it again, you're just like, yeah, I won't settle for anything less than that, because it's really healing at a soul level. It's really getting down into what's going on and then looking at all the different aspects of how it's affected you in this life and others, and it's just complete release. So that's a little bit about the type of work I do. It's different for everybody. Everybody's story is different. The things they're working on, the way it shows up in their life. I really believe it has to do with decisions that were made and functioning from a left hand position and then going back and seeing why.
That's a really big key point, I think, this functioning from less than, because we can be having so-called favorable things going on and still be functioning from that less than position. Matter of fact, I was just talking with somebody about that today, and they're like, I don't get this. And it's like, well, it's like somebody who appears to be really confident, but in reality, they're really insecure. So their actions might seem like fun and play and passionate and everything in the moment, but it's really an escape. They're really coming from this aspect of trying to get reassurance as opposed to really being confident. And so I think it is interesting where some of those patterns do show up in our life. And I think you made a really good point in there that when you start to release on this really in-depth, total level, there is nothing that can match it. And I think sometimes, even once you've been through that, you can still hit some of those points that are almost like little blocks that you go, oh, okay, this is really, really hurting, but somewhere I know I need to let go. And I know if I can keep the letting go, it's going to be really, really good. But it's really hard to let go. So let's take that. Yeah, let's take that and say, well, what keeps those patterns locked in? When we know it's so good to release, and we know it's going to feel good when we do that monumental release, why do we stick into these belief patterns?
Well, I think we get real comfortable and complacent, and sometimes it's that fear of the unknown. You know, who am I going to be if I release this? You know, what is that going to look like? And I think even though we're not happy where we're at, sometimes it being comfortable is, safer in a lot of ways for people. And, I think that once they have one big session where they do a huge release, I think they do get like, okay, I know this can work. But it's work. I mean, that's the thing. Those of us that are working on our stuff and we're healing and we're moving forward and we're, clearing these things, it's very, very simple, but it's really not necessarily very easy. So having someone to help track it with you, you know, whether it's your yoga instructor or a teacher or, you know, someone who's doing holistic spiritual work with you, healing work, it's nice to have someone to be there to assist you with this and to walk you through it and to just be a witness to the baby steps that you're taking in your healing. You know, and I think that's where the people at my center come in. A lot of times I'll have someone that I can help in a certain way, but I think, oh, they might need to talk to my astrologer because this has something to do with, you know, their chart, or maybe if they look at something in a different way, they'll see it, different perspective, or possibly they need a massage to where they, you know, can integrate some of the work that I've done with them, getting some body work is a good way of integrating that. You know, or acupuncture, depending on what, you know, everybody's so different, depending on what it is that they're going through. Sometimes there's other methods as well that can help integrate what's going on and get them ready for the next session so it's not so scary or intimidating.
I think that is an important piece for people to be open. You know, I'm always telling people, yeah, go take a yoga class or something like this, because there's so much that you're going to learn, whether you're getting energy work or body work or taking a yoga class. All these different things will hold pieces, and one of them might be the final trigger, but the rest of them might have been loosening it up all the way along the way. And sometimes I think, too, we just click with that one person sometimes. But it is enlightening. And I think that, too, sometimes when people are confused, if they step into some of these processes, they get so busy in letting their mind wander. And, like, right now, for example, this year, we have a whole ton of retrogrades going on, right? We're in Mercury retrograde now. We're going to get the post-Mercury retrograde effects. We're headed into Mars and Saturn retrograde. And we've been dealing with Jupiter retrograde. Well, it's still retrograde at the moment. But people want to tick away, and they want their mind to analyze these things. And what we need to do is, like you say, sit back and receive this work and pay attention. Because when we receive it, we can open those doors. And I think you bring up another good point, which is how many people get comfortable in a space, and they lead themselves into this false sense of security or safety in that, kind of that aspect of the comfortable unpleasant versus the uncomfortable pleasant factor there.
Yeah, it's that. We fall in between when you decide to let go of something and you're reaching for what's next. I think that's scary for a lot of people. But, you know, I think when we try something and we do the work and we go through the process and we get to the other side and we see that it actually works and that our life in some way is, you know, maybe not totally there, but we're working on being as authentic as we can be. You know, I think it gives us that incentive to do it the next time. And, you know, it's just the jumping off and going for it. But I think when we see the value and we see how it has affected and changed our life, you know, it will make it easier the next time. And it does get easier. And we won't have to have our lessons be so painful because we'll be able to see them coming. You know, I think the more awake and aware we become and the more in tune we are, of course, the planets and everything that's going on in the universe starts affecting us a little bit more. But like I love my astrologer, okay, it's Mercury retrograde. That just tells me I need to take my galoshes and my umbrella and, you know, just be prepared. It doesn't mean that the world's falling apart for me. It just means I'm going to get all this really wonderful weather. And I just have to be prepared for that weather. So, you know, I've got my tools.
Well, see, now you just have to market it, because that's what I do in some of my work, because people get wrapped up. That Mercury retrograde is not to psych us out, or the retrogrades are not. It's about reminding ourselves we need to step back and rest and reserve, observe. And actually, your retrograde times are perfect for doing release work. So with this type of work, your retrograde, your Mercury retrograde is getting you out of your head. This is a perfect time that you can let go of these belief patterns. And, you know, this is a perfect time to be doing this type of work. So, you know, it's actually when people come in, I think that's one of those things that I noticed too in my own work, is that you look around and you say, okay, I'm in the retrograde, so this type of work is actually going to work better right now with people than this other type of work.
It does give us a chance to look back on what's happened, to collect ourselves, to regroup. And it seems like sometimes we can work on certain things, the really stuck stuff. And it seems like, you know, it might, if you haven't let go of certain things or you've brought it back into your reality by dwelling on it or bringing it back in some way, you know, this is a really good time to get all that residual out, you know, to really take a good look at what, you know, what you've been working on. So it's like revisiting all those different things. And I agree, it's a nice time to work on all those aspects and, you know, get it taken care of. These retrograde times, that's really what they are about. You're right, it's a great time to work on this stuff. And I remember hearing in your introduction when you spoke about people who are healers and givers and how we let ourselves get really, really drained. I do work with a lot of other healers as well, helping them take their practice to the next level with the work that I do. And something I really, really teach is being whole and being complete. And I like to refer to it as being the lamppost as opposed to being the flashlight and, like, shining your light and giving it away. You know, a lot of times when we recharge, when we're whole and happy and charged up, it's like being a lamppost. People can come and just kind of sit and bask in the light, and it's not so, it shouldn't be so difficult. If we're really charged up and happy and healthy and taking care of ourselves, a lot of times we can just teach by being that healthy being, you know, by showing others what it's like to be a healer and take care of ourselves first. You know, that isn't selfish, but, well, it is, and selfish is okay. That's a lot of times what we need to be so that we can heal at the level that we do, so that we can be 100% for our clients and students when they come in. It's vitally important that we really learn early on to take care of ourselves, to self-nurture. I also use all these people that are at the center. I frequent them myself, and we trade with each other, and we help each other as a team. And that's vital, I think, to stay in the right kind of shape so that I can give and care for others. You know, it's like when you get on the airplane and the stewardess says, put the oxygen mask on yourself first before you can help someone else. And I think that's so important. And so when you're talking about that, I was like, oh, yeah, I have like a whole chapter on that in one of my books about how it's so utterly important to take care of yourself, that it's not, you know, a bad thing. Because a lot of us think, oh, well, we have to give to others all the time, and it's like the most important person you can give to is yourself, so that you can be 100% when that time comes, when you are needed. So, yeah, I like that part of your opening.
Well, and I know I've discussed this with a couple of the other guests I've had on too, which is the analogy that, sure, you can do a self-massage, but you don't get the same benefits as if you just lay back and let somebody else do the massage for you, on you.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
And no matter how evolved you get, you need to work on these things, because there's very, very evolved people out there that still get hung up in some of these patterns that, you know, as you say, even as massage therapists and things, you need to go and get other people's work and do that receiving. And I think that's what happens with some of the people that get involved. Maybe they're starting early on their path and they get very frustrated. I'm here to say don't get frustrated, because you're hearing it from Darcy, you're hearing it from me, that even the people that have been on their path for decades know that they have to take the time to do this, and they know that it takes practice, and many of them are still working on it no matter how far they've come. It's kind of an ongoing thing.
Well, we're still human in the body, walking the planet, and as long as we're doing that, we're healing our own stuff, we're going through our own lessons, and, you know, it might be different and not as drastic as it used to be, but, you know, it is very important for us to really surrender to our own treatment. I mean, that's kind of walking the walk. It's you know, you're not just you know, when you're living in that space of authenticity and you're really, you know, putting yourself out there every day, it's important to use all of those tools that you teach others to use. You know, I'm always telling others, yeah, I'll try this and try that and see, you know. I mean, everybody's different the way that they get their healing and their information and what it is that actually helps them break through. And so it's really important to try a variety of different things and, you know, to be aware of what the benefit is from each one of those different things and how it works for you. But, yeah, walking the walk means, you know, in all those ways that you're taking care of yourself the way that you're wanting your clients to get taken care of, you know. it's like, you know, heal thyself, listen to your own words, practice what you preach, all those good things.
Absolutely. If I'm telling people to meditate, I better be doing my own meditations, too. Is there anything that people can do to help release some of these patterns on their own?
Well, of course there are. You know, I have to say, everybody asks me, well, how do I become, you know, more spiritually aware? How can I tap into my own psychic ability? How can I? And I always come back to the number one thing that I teach my clients and students is meditation, meditation, meditation. And everybody kind of goes, and they cringe, like, oh, my God. I don't want to sit there with my legs crossed going om and trying to think of nothing. And so years ago I developed this meditation where you're actually doing energy work on yourself. So you're doing some, you know, you're imagining and doing some imagery work. You're giving your brain something to chew on by having it move different colors. So you're imagining colors, you're stimulating your pineal gland and your, you know, frontal lobe, and you're activating your endocrine system. And, you know, just by imagining a color, imagining how it feels, what it would weigh, whether it's cool or warm. And it gives your brain something to do so that, you know, the other part of you can open up and receive the meditation, actually go into that space of relaxation. It's not necessarily trying to think of nothing, because, of course, what, you know, you resist persists, and your brain just feels that if it shuts down or gets turned off like a computer, it's going to die. So it gets really, really pesky when we're trying to ignore it and not think of things. So I tell people, you know, when you get a thought, you just kind of like notice it, pay attention to it, and then just go back to focusing on the color or the energy or whatever it is that the guided meditation is telling you to do. And I think it's really helpful. It was like doing something, giving your body something to do and your mind something to do so that you can let go and release, and before you know it, you're in that space. I kind of laugh. I was telling a client the other day that some of my best meditation time is while driving. I'm like, please don't tell the police. But, you know, you're doing something so automatic. You know, you're doing something that you don't really have to think too much about. So just doing that act can release you in a way that you can expand. When I was in Japan, I went to one of their tea ceremonies, and they take a very common act of pouring tea and slow it way down, and they make a meditation out of something that's so ordinary. You know, it's like also walking a labyrinth, moving meditation. There's so many different ways for us to get into that zone. Some clients, they ride bikes or they're running, and they say when they're running, they just kind of get into that zone. Artists, when they're, you know, painting or making their art, they get kind of into that zone where they're doing their thing. It's almost like they're channeling. I think whatever it is, whether it's sitting on the beach, walking, relaxing, breathing, moving energy, whatever that is that frees you up and gets you into your happy place, which I think is really being in alignment with Source, that's meditation to me. So I offer different ways. You know, I have this CD that people like that gives them something to do with their brains so they can relax and go into that space. And at the same time, they're getting healing energy and working on issues. A lot of times when they have done it for a while, they'll say that, you know, something that they're dealing with will come up when they're working with a certain color. And it's always really interesting to see how that color relates to the chakra that possibly has the issue. I mean, that's why this issue is coming up, because it relates to that chakra in some way, and that by using that color, they can push through, or they'll see the lesson in it and kind of go, oh, aha, I get it, you know? and they can release some blocks that way. But I think meditation is the number one tool that we should stick in our spiritual tool belt and have several different meditations that we do depending on what we're going through. I mean, it's like wake up, you know, brush your teeth, put on the coffee, run some energy. You know, I think it should be a routine, a daily practice, whatever your practice is, you know, and it can be whatever works for you. For me, I of course, I'm an energy healer, so, you know, and I like to work with color and imagery. So for me, that just really helpful, and I think it kind of takes you away from all the stuff that you're dealing with and puts you in a detached way. It's kind of also, too, like, you know, the runner who runs the race before they're actually doing it. I think when we plan our day and we can see the obstacles that might come up and we can, you know, talk with our guides, I like to say, or just get it out to the universe what it is you want to accomplish. It's kind of like through meditation. You can plan your day and run the race, and so when you're actually doing it, it's amazing how you kind of get into what I like to call the flow, and things just move so much easier. You know, it's like, I feel like it's, you know, 90% what you're doing on the inside and 10% the actual action that you're taking can make life a lot easier when you get into that space and can actually, you know, act instead of react, you know, plan your day, plan your life, and do it in a way that, you know, empowers you.
I had when you were talking about, you know, meditating while driving, because I think anytime I get in a car and I'm driving further than across town, and probably even then, I am totally, my brain just goes in and gets totally creative and totally thinking, and it's like all the ideas start running in, and I can't count the number of times I pulled off to the side of the road to make notes about something because of the way the ideas are flowing in, and how many times I'd be driving down the highway and it's like, oh wow, it's like 4 hours later, or I don't even remember getting from point A to point B. I was just so meditating. I've done it. I think it just happens naturally for me. It's like when I get in a car, you know, some people, you know, they get in a car and they fall asleep, which is what I used to do when I was younger. So maybe that's where it comes from, you know, and now I get in a car and I can't fall asleep while I'm driving. So I go off into creative thinking.
Right.
I love the color factor that you bring up for people, because there are a lot of people that have a hard time, especially the more stress somebody's under, the harder it is for them to go into that meditational space. And I have seen and known people, very, very experienced, people who have taught meditation, visualization classes and things like that, that when they get ultra stressed, they can't get focused. They can't let go. So the color thing is, I think, really cool that you bring that up and use that as an exercise in your work, because colors will automatically trigger different moods, emotions, or things like that. I mean, I can just, and it would be so great to jot down what comes up as you're thinking about that color, or having a microphone or something where you could record what's coming up for you, because I was sitting there thinking myself and listening to you talk and going on, I'm thinking, okay, yellow, and it's like, you know, this pulsating sun's coming out, or blue, and it automatically goes to midnight blue sky, or so it's very cool, the associations that we make, which can lead to some really great understandings, or help us maybe even make that connection of energy or peace or something like that to help us through something. So I'm glad you mentioned that, and it is. It's practice, 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 people. it's like many things. You're going to get good at it the more you practice it.
That's right. It is practicing. And sometimes even, I tell people, just sit there. You know, you don't have to, this shouldn't, you know, don't make it so difficult to think of a color. See, and I think that's what's so nice about that kind of meditation is that almost anybody can imagine what the color red looks like. You know, if you think of a deep, rich ruby red, you know, and then I can, because a lot of people will say, well, I can't really imagine. I'm like, okay, so what is it? Is it hot or is it cold? What's it taste like? You know, they immediately will come up with a flavor. Well, they'll have like cherry or, you know, something like that. And I'm like, okay, so you're already imagining. But I think we've lost, you know, as a people, as a society, the ability a lot of times to imagine. You know, we instant gratification people. We've got television and computer and video games. And, you know, when I was a kid, we had to like, well, and you know, a lot of us that are 50 and over, there wasn't all this stuff when we were little, and we played board games, and, you know, we had to use our imaginations. And I think as adults, we've just gotten away from doing that. But really, creation, manifestation, it all starts with imagining. It all starts with, you know, let's get your mind in a place where you can, you know, imagine what it is you desire, what you want to create in your life. And I think we've just, like, you know, that it's like a muscle that needs to be exercised, and we've just gotten away from doing that, you know, and I think that's where, again, meditation comes in. You want to manifest something, you want to create something. A lot of times we don't know what we don't know, but if you can get into a space where you can just, you know, start with something small, imagine a color, and then get your juices flowing, and before you know it, amazing stuff starts popping in your head.
It's true, you know, kind of is like when we used to, as kids, go out and, you know, lay down on the grass and look up in the sky and watch the clouds and, you know, see what pictures came to us from the clouds. Or, you know, this can really be a fun game for people if they want to make it that way, you know, just randomly picking a couple of things and then trying to imagine that, you know, trying to take a color and an animal or whatever and blending them together. And that's, it's such a great trigger. And it's true. So many people, they, you know, their imagination is there, but they're not using it. You know, they're just, it's like people have become very inhibited. And I don't know if that's because they feel judged or they're trying to place too much in the right-wrong category, and it's really just about having fun. What do you think on that?
Yeah, I agree there. It could be that there is this right-wrong and what I should be doing and this and that, and just all that mind chatter that gets in the way of us seeing that child within. It makes you think of, you know, the Zen teachers and how they talk about being new mind or beginner's mind. And it's really that bit of us as a child, if we can go back and get in touch with that and, you know, use our imagination and be free of all, you know, that information floating around that's telling us that it's wrong or silly. Or, because quite honestly, I believe that our imagination, our ability to, you know, imagine and believe anything is possible, you know, then anything is possible. You know, it's really about our mindset and what we believe. That's why releasing these negative belief patterns is so important. You know, a lot of them aren't even true. They were something that maybe our mother or father or school teacher or somebody said to us, and it's stuck in our brain. And, you know, that's one of the exercises that I do with my students. This might be something that the listeners would like to do, is I just have them start writing down things, you know, if they're having trouble with abundance and money. I'm like, okay, so write down all those things that are in your head. And they're like, okay, well, money doesn't grow on trees. And, you know, if it's worth having, it's difficult. And, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then they go, wow. And I go, do you believe that? And they're like, well, this, I actually heard my dad's voice when I said this. And this feels like something I got from my mom. And, you know, half the time these belief systems, they aren't even ours. They are somebody else's. And as a young child, we adopted them and took them on as our own. And we're still walking around with a lot of them. We're like, wow, I didn't even know that was in there, you know. And these could be the things that are tripping me up. But, you know, a lot of times it is something so simple. So, you know, sometimes getting in touch with our inner child and, you know, releasing some of the patterns that we developed as we grew up, trying to fit in, trying to obey the rules, trying to do what was right, you know, and thinking that what we were doing was wrong, all those kinds of things. It's kind of like we get to a certain age and it's like, okay, forget everything you know. And and act like a child. Let's play. I mean, I've had men, you know, that are executive businessmen, and I've had them take off their shoes and loosen their tie. Let's get on the floor. We're going to play. Here, have a crayon. You know, and they're just, like, looking at me. I'm like, okay, you know, you can pick all this briefcase stuff up at the door. It's not going anywhere. Let's just, if you could do anything, let's pretend. Let's play. You know, a lot of times they'll come to me and they'll say, well, you know, I'm 55, and I've gone to college to learn this particular type of work, and I've been doing it for, you know, 30 years, and I make a great income, and I've got a great home, and I've got the 2.3 kids, and blah, 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 blah. And I'm miserable. I hate my life. I feel sick when I have to get up to go to work, and I don't know what to do about it, you know? And I'm like, okay, well, have you thought about doing so? Well, I can't do anything else. I have to make this money. I got mortgages. I got blah, 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 blah. I've got braces to pay for. And so I tell them that none of that stuff's going to go anywhere. Just put it in the box. You know, let's sit on the floor. You know, if you could do anything, like, we're just going to pretend anything, what could that be? And I kind of have to start there. And it's using their imagination. And if they're like, well, I can't think of anything, I go, close your eyes. Can you imagine the color red? Because sometimes we have to start there. You know, and they're like, yeah, I can imagine red. It's like, okay. And then we just take baby steps into opening up. They're even allowing themselves to use their imagination. And a lot of times after a session where they start imagining and they go a little further and they go a little further, and if they can't think of what it is that they would do, I'm like, well, what's it sound like? You know, they have their eyes closed and we're talking about, what's it sound like? What does it smell like? You know, what do you hear? What do you feel? Is it warm? You know, what do you feel when you get into your car at the end of the day? What is it that you want to feel from your work? What is it that you want to feel? Because a lot of times, you know, we can step back and go into a feeling, well, I want to feel excited and enthusiastic. I want to feel appreciated. I want to feel, you know, whatever it is that they want to feel. And that sometimes then will give them ideas on what they actually enjoy. A lot of times we don't even know what we like to do. We're so busy, you know, running around in the rat race, taking care of, making money, that we don't even really know what makes us happy anymore. So imagination, and imagination starts with meditation. And so, you know, I really think it's that is the beginning for a lot of people to be able to, you know, just imagine what it is they would like to create. And then it makes it easier to dissolve the life that they no longer want. You know, if they can get a little touch of what life could be, if they just allow themselves to go there.
I so agree. Being able to allow ourselves to just indulge in the thoughts, no matter where our current mindset is, it's fun to just play in your mind. It's fun. Even if you don't understand how it's going to happen in the real world, you can still enjoy doing it in that meditation state. It gives you that connection with being unrestricted. And, you know, as you were talking, I was sitting back thinking, wow, isn't it amazing how many of us say, I can't do that, I can't let myself imagine, or that's not acceptable, or these sorts of things. And then I think, you know, what if Thomas Edison thought that? What if all these inventors of all these things that we have said, oh, well, I can't imagine anything? You know, that's where it all started, was they said, well, I don't care what the rest of the world thinks. I have this imagination. I'm going to indulge that imagination, and if I can imagine it, I can create it.
Exactly.
So I think that that's absolutely huge. And Darcy, I did have somebody that's in our phone queue that I'm open up their mic that I'm seeing come in here, and they're from 805 area code, and I believe this is maybe Curtis.
Oh yeah,
is this
hey,
Curtis?
Guys.
Hey
yes,
Curtis.
Hi Jesse. Hi, how are you? Great show, ladies. Very interesting. I thought I would give a call and see if I could maybe ask a question.
Go right ahead.
Okay, and this is for Darcy. Darcy, I hear you guys talking a lot about, you know, the chakras and preparing yourself how to get yourself in the state of mind to do the kind of work you do. And I also understand, I mean, you told me that you have a book coming out. Do you address any of that? How do you get into these types of altered states, so to speak?
How do I personally get into the altered state?
Well, I mean, obviously you know how to do it, but how would somebody like myself do that, and how can I find out how to do that?
Well, I'd start with meditation. Whether it's guided or a lot of times when people go, oh, meditation, they just think it's such a chore, which is a big reason why I came out with the CD that I made. So I thought, okay, well, this is going to be a helpful little way for someone to start, with a guided meditation. And at some point, they can stop listening to me talking and they can kind of make it their own. But it's just like that beginning way to try to, you know, get you to relax. And at least even if you sit and just listen to someone else talk for a while and you're not quite going through all the visualization, at some point it will kick in. You can't help but sit there and listen to someone talking about color and not go, yeah, red or yellow or, oh, purple, that feels cool, or, you know, whatever. It's practice. It's, I think if someone sets up the time every day where they just sit with themselves and imagine and not beat yourself up, you know, like maybe look at the things you're grateful for. Being in that attitude of gratitude is always a good place to be as well. Dwell on the things that are working and that you do like about your life. And it's really just about being really in touch with yourself. I think so many people don't really sit with themselves or be with themselves. They've got to have this external stimuli constantly going on, you know, and, I actually love it here. Both of my boys who are adults live here at this moment with me, which is interesting. They both have come home. And when the power goes out, we had this rain not too long ago and the power was out for a bit. And they're just like, there's no television, the computer's off, and I can't listen to my music. And I'm like, wow, guess you'll have to, like, you know, check out the company you're keeping. Maybe you need to, like, just be with you for a little bit, you know. And a lot of people have trouble doing that. They're like, what? I have to be with me? But I think, you know, meditation is a good way to just, you know, even if you're just thinking about things, that you want to create or that you'd want to bring into your life, and you just kind of go into that state of thinking, concentrating on your breath. Breath work's another big thing. People can, there's many different types of breathing techniques people can use. I'm kind of partial to the 8-count breath. When I go into meditation, I breathe 8 counts in and I hold it for 8 counts, and then I release it for 8 counts, and then I hold the exhale for 8. And that really helps me kind of clear, get in touch with my body. You know, breath is your energy. It's your spirit moving through your body. So that's really helpful too, to get your, you know, body and mind aligned and focused. And in my book, I give a bunch of examples. I talk about breathing. I talk about meditation. I talk about, you know, doing whatever it is that brings you great joy. If it's painting, paint, you know, go there, do that. That's the ways that we get in that space of alignment.
Well, I was going to ask you also, I mean, I know you have a book coming out, but do you have something to follow up, like a workbook? I thought I maybe heard something about that. Do you address those kinds of things?
I do, actually. I do have a workbook coming out, and it kind of follows the chapters in my first book, but it also gives you exercises. It's set up in 12 sessions, I call it, and each session or chapter is it has an introduction and a lesson, and then it also has an activity. And then at the end of that chapter or session, it gives you a meditation. So there's several different ways that you can, work it. You can read the lesson and get information that way. The activity sometimes is where you're writing something. Sometimes it's a mental activity, using your concentration and awareness. It can be, writing things down or doing energy work on your space or, you know, the different exercises that I use with my students. And then at the end of that, like I said, there's a meditation that goes along with it as well. So it's like, getting the information, doing the lesson, and then actually acting something out, and then, in a sense, nailing it in and really integrating it with this meditation until you're ready to do the next session. So so that's kind of cool. And it can be for an individual. It can be for, an individual in their own healing or opening up their awareness, or it can be for a practitioner that's already got their own healing profession, and they're just looking at new and improved ways to help themselves and tools for their students. But yeah, the chapters talk about the energy systems and talks about different things you can do in your own life and your own space. It talks about how to meet your guides and use them in your life, and they're all different little tools for these different sessions that you can use. I'm kind of excited about it.
and then a quick question, and I'll let you guys go, is, explain to me, what's a multidimensional healer? I hadn't heard that until recently. Can you explain what that is?
Yeah, yes, I can. Earlier, I think I said something about a little bit about it, but I'll expand. Multidimensional, to me, is healing on all dimensions. It's healing at the soul level, not just physical, not just mental or emotional. It's healing at all the levels. So it's a more holistic approach. Multidimensional, I use that because we travel different dimensions when we're doing different things, and it's bringing in the information from all time and space and using that to heal these different belief systems and patterns and physical ailments we have that, that we're not always sure where they came from. So it's kind of going back, and there's a little past life regression in there, so to speak. There's, looking at your Akashic records and seeing what your divine blueprint is in this life. Let's look at what the karma, what your lessons are. And it's just working on all those different levels. And, one pattern can have several different ways it's affecting you. It can be affecting a chakra. It can be causing a physical ailment. It can be, affecting a relationship in some way with a certain thought pattern. It can be, attacking you in a multitude of ways. And when you track it back and release it, it's just amazing how, your world will then start reflecting that healing.
Okay, very cool. Well, I just wanted to call in and get that cleared up. Jesse, you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Well, Jesse, I just want to say great show. Great shows all the time. I've listened to it periodically. I don't always stay up this late. At least for me, and I know it's pretty late for you. But anyway, I just want to say great show, and thanks for taking my call.
Well, thank you, Curtis, for calling in.
All right, good night.
Great to have you on the line. So,
thanks, Curtis.
I just muted out his mic. So,
Curtis, by the way, listeners, Curtis is the astrologer at the Healing Center at Amethyst. He's also a Reiki master, and he has a multitude of other things that he does. But so that was kind of fun to have him call in.
it was. And also, I did an interview on Curtis last fall. So if people want to, learn more about the work he did, they can go back into the archives and check out that interview as well. It was really quite interesting because we did some tapping into dream things and astrology things with him, so it was fun. But, yeah, I think this is very exciting, and I think with the work you're doing, I'm glad that he asked some of those questions, because I think some people go, okay, well, I've heard about meditation 1,000 times, but how do I get into that meditation? So I think that those were really great questions that he brought up. Now, that kind of led me in, because you started to mention about our divine blueprint. Maybe you can share a little bit more about what our divine blueprint is and how does that get activated?
Oh, okay. Well, I believe that before we come into this life, of course, I believe that we take our experience, our parents, our time of birth, all these different elements create who we are, who our ego structure is in this particular incarnation. And it also then is in place for the different lessons and things that we need to learn, whether it's karma from past life or it's something new that we're bringing in. And really, it's, you know, it's like classroom earth. And the blueprint, a lot of times when I'm working with clients, I ask to look at that. And what that is it's kind of a, well, and it looks like a blueprint. I mean, a lot of things are, you know, metaphorical, but it shows what our lessons are and where we are in those lessons. And when I go in and I look at it, it can have certain pages, just like when you lift a layer, like you start with the foundation and then you lay another layer over, and it might be like the plumbing and then the you know, framing part of the house. And then, you know, there's like different layers of like a home blueprint. And I feel like we're building on our lessons, and they all work together and inside of each other at times. And looking at what it is that we're here to actually learn a lot of times can make the focus easier when we talk about our healing. Okay, so what are we focusing on? What is it that you're here to really learn? Oh, it's patience. Okay, well, you know, let's look at what we're, you know, what's happened in your life that's been challenging that or bringing up that issue for you to get to really, really deal with it. And a lot of times it makes it easier so they can have focus with their healing. And it's a matter of just going, you know, what's on my blueprint? I mean, take it into meditation. A lot of times you can find out what some of your lessons are in that way. I know that people will have life themes. Those are on there, not just what your lesson is, but what your theme is. In my case, of course, in yours as well, we're light workers, we're healers, we're, you know, that is kind of our role. But it helps people, too, when they're not really sure what it is their purpose is. A lot of times we can go in and look at what their lessons are, and a lot of times it will lead us to what their purpose may be. Not everybody knows what that is, and sometimes they have to get in touch with what their deepest core issues and lessons are to figure out what that is. A lot of times it's just getting through their healing and then helping others do the same thing. Which a lot of light workers do. A lot of times, you know, we have shadow times in our life that we learn some of our greatest things from. You know, in my case, it was a death experience. And then later on when I was denying my abilities, right before 2001, when I came out and started actually working in that field, I had what I call my 13 months of shadows that happened before I opened the center and really put all of my energy into doing this work. Sometimes the universe wipes your slate clean so that you don't have any excuses. You know, sometimes traumatic events is where our clarity comes from. We push through to the other side and go, huh, okay. In my case, I had these 13 months, I call my shadow months, and started with the death of my mother. My youngest child moved to his dad's a little early. I wasn't prepared to lose him yet, and his father lives quite a ways away. My oldest was 19 and was telling me that I was going to be a grandmother. And my relationship, you know, huh? My relationship of 5 years I was engaged broke up, which we were living together, and my office was in the home. So my work office situation, my relationship both with my sons, my relationship shifted with them. And then it ended with the death of my father. So I was like, okay, I'm orphaned and a grandma and I'm not a girlfriend and my boys are so far away. I'm not really a mom. And I went from soccer mom to a grandma in like, you know, 5 moments. And you know, like, whoa, you know, life kind of got, it gets real small, you know, sometimes they have to get taken down to nothing and then you go, okay, so I'm really grateful for this fuzzy blanket. I'm really grateful for, you know, these little things that I can, you know, that are tangible in this moment. And then you grow from there and you just go, okay, so who am I? You know, I don't have the mom hat and I don't have, you know, the daughter hat and I don't have the girlfriend, fiance, wife hat. I don't have, you know, and you start just kind of at that point. For me, I started reinventing myself. It's like, well, what do I want to be? I don't have to consider a lot of other people in my life right now. I don't have to consider how my kids are going to feel about it because, you know, they're a distance away. And my parents are gone. So, you know, you just kind of start from in my case, and I see a lot of people that go through something very similar, you know, that's one way to start reinventing yourself and being more authentic and getting down to the nitty-gritty and then creating the life you desire through that. Hopefully we've done it so that not everybody has to go through something so drastic to start taking control of their life and doing the things that they desire. Hopefully we don't have to go through great losses to do that. but in my case, that's good.
If they learn from you and me and other people, then they won't have to.
yeah, we already did that for y'all. It can be gentler. And I'm going to assume most people who are doing this kind of work usually have their story of how they broke through to the other side. So, you know, I think that the average person out there hopefully won't have to go through something like that. But, you know, occasionally we get caught up in life. We get caught up in what others believe we're supposed to be. You know, I mean, from the moment we're conceived, our mother has an idea of what we're going to be like and how she wants us to behave. And, oh, she's going to be a pretty little girl. And, oh, she's going to be, you know, a model, or she's going to be in television, or whatever their aspirations are for you. And if you're a boy, then my boy's going to be stepping in strong and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And a lot of times we come out and we're already, you know, going, wait, that's not who I am on a soul level. I'm having, you know, to make my parents happy, and I'm trying to fit in at school, and I'm trying to study things that I know will make me successful and, you know, bring about money and success and da-da-da-da. And then before we know it, we're like, I don't even like these things. What am I doing?
That's so true. I think we live a big chunk of our life trying to please parents or do what we think we're supposed to be doing in the eyes of other people and what we're told we should be doing. And I don't think a lot of people have had that freedom. You know, they've felt locked in because of culture or where they lived or how they were raised. And, you know, even you look at even really so-called good families, there's a lot of pressure there that they will carry on a family business or they will, you know, well, you look at politicians, right? And politicians breed politicians, and, you know, their path is already set out for them, and they don't even get to decide half the time. So this happens in all walks of life, what you're bringing up. And I think this divine blueprint aspect, it's useful to have somebody like yourself working with people to help them unfold some of this understanding, because it's kind of like that imagination that got squashed along the way. We tend to lose touch with what we know we're here to do.
Exactly. That's exactly it.
Yeah, and like you say, I'm so there with you, because I very much can relate to that aspect of, okay, well, this is taken out of my life, and that's taken out of my life. And it's like, wow, I'm so grateful for this chair I'm sitting in, no matter how squeaky and hard it is. Or,
right,
you know, so grateful for this little pillow. Or it's literally, it comes down to that some days when you're going through some of those journeys. And those are the things that I think people get wrapped up in. Oh, I've got to find all this big stuff in the gratitude. And you don't. It's about the smallest things. It could be the smallest things, like, you know, I'm grateful I opened my eyes up this morning, or I'm, you know, whatever it is. I'm grateful that I have something to eat in the house. Whatever it is. Those small things are where it starts. And I think that that's a, you know, a big cue in there. Now, is there anything, Darcy, that people should know about contracts or Akashic records and soul retrieval?
I do think that it's important when someone is first starting out on their healing journey to find out what kind of contracts, oaths, decrees, those sorts of things that we've made in our past. A lot of times those are the things that can lock us and block us from moving forward, sometimes moving on with our love life, moving on with, you know, releasing certain people in our life. we do have contracts with people, and, you know, not just marriage certificates or partnerships that are on paper, but when we make, you know, words or things, when we make decrees, or we take oaths, our allegiance to a certain person, government, you know, whatever it is in time and space, past life, that we've fought for, we've believed in, we've stood behind and beside and, you know, dedicated our lives to, sometimes we believe in those things so much and we dedicate our entire lives to those things that when we die and get reborn or move on, they come with us, you know, just like our lessons do and other things like that from our past lives. So do those oaths, decrees, vows, and contracts. So some of the past life work that I do is to go back and release those that are, you know, obsolete, they're completed, possibly they're null and void, or we don't need to take it any further. We look at what they are and try to wrap up the business around those certain things, especially if those particular souls came with us into this incarnation as well and we're still working out our karma and lessons with them. But I think it is real important to clear those out of our lives, the contracts and agreements, so that we can be fresh and clear to make new ones or to move forward. Sometimes they can bog us down with energetically being ported to all these different contracts that we never thought before about releasing. There's also an exercise that reminds me energetically of that, which is I have this little exercise that I use where people can write down everybody that they feel like they've harmed in some way, so they're saying, I'm sorry, and then everybody that they know hurt and harmed them, and they're saying, I forgive you. And it's so interesting how something like that can release so much energy when you're going through healing. And, you know, a lot of times the pain we feel or the unforgiveness we feel towards others, it could be that the same person could be someone that, you know, we've been with in past lives and we're still carrying this anger or we're carrying this unforgiveness. And that can be sometimes what's blocking us from moving forward in certain relationships and certain things. It can be keeping us fearful or heart protected in some way. And so, yes, that's all really important when it comes to starting out going, okay, and you're just kind of getting down and doing all that background work, you know, releasing the stuff. And people can do this on their own. I mean, sometimes it's nice to have somebody like myself that can go, okay, try this and we can do these exercises together. But that's also why when the workbook comes out, someone can use it, you know, individually and work through some of this stuff. And then when they get to a part where they're a little bit stuck, you know, sometimes doing past life regression on yourself can be a little difficult if you're not really, you know, into doing the meditation. A lot of times meditation, I can go back and things will come to me and I can track stuff for myself and then, of course, for others when I'm in session. But if you're not, you know, confident and been practicing your meditation for very long, it's hard for you to do that for yourself. So that's where, you know, somebody like myself or that someone that does the regression or that does this type of work can assist you with that. And then that can, like, you know, get you on to the next step. So possibly you're going to handle whatever comes up next. But we all need hand now and then, and sometimes we don't know what we don't know.
And, right.
We need someone to, you know, hold up a mirror, really. I mean, a lot of times what I do is I just create safe, sacred space for somebody to unfold in, and I hold a mirror up and just remind them of who they are at a soul level. And sometimes that's all that really needs to happen. Is sometimes they just need to talk it out. Sometimes hearing their own voice speaking something out, they can work through it right in front of me. And they're like, well, I knew that. If I see something in their field and I bring it up, they're like, yeah, you know, I knew that. And I'm like, well, of course you did. It's all right here. It's all in your field. I'm just helping you see it and remember and holding up a mirror so you can see who you forgot you were. You know? And a lot of times that's what the work is. You know, people, especially now, I mean, 10 years ago, people were a little more stuck, but I think people are more proactive in their healing now. You know, they're wanting to be in a place of action rather than reaction, like life's just happening to me. They want to make it happen. So, yeah, I think it is important.
I think that's a good point, and I see that with even some of the younger generation where they really want to understand what's happening in their life and how to handle these soul-level things. they're coming in wanting to work on these things and do it. And the contracts, I think, are so important because I notice it in my work with relationships, for example, that people come in and it's like, well, this has got to be my soulmate. I just feel like I know this person. It's just familiar. It's this, it's that. But then these difficulties come up, and over and over again, I come back to that soul contract aspect because, you know, sometimes they confuse somebody who they think is supposed to be the one with somebody that
right.
they're working through a soul contract with. And
exactly.
So, yeah, when we that and we realize, I think, sometimes that, okay, this might just be a soul contract and I might not need to, you know, hang on to this person forever just because I've known them in a past life or whatever. There.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that you brought that up. Now, I want to take a couple minutes here. Darcy, you said your book is coming out. When is that coming out? Or is it out and available?
I thought it was going to be out a couple months ago, but when I started writing the workbook, there was so much information that I started going back and adding things to the book, and I'm kind of now working on them both simultaneously. I'm hoping to have it out within the month, and it'll be available on Amazon. Of course, I'll do a news blast, and it'll be available probably through my website or, like I said, Amazon or through the Healing Center if you're in the area. And, of course, it's amethysthealingcenter.com and darcycleom.com are both two ways that you can get the book that way. And then, of course, the other books are going to gradually come out as well. I'm just having so much fun at this point with working with them and going, oh, this would be good to put in this book. And I really thought that I was going to have it out a couple months ago. And this final process of publishing it has just been so interesting. And, I've just kind of held on to it longer than I thought I was going to. But I'm hoping within the month to have it released.
And that's
kind of a labor of love.
It passed post-Mercury retrograde.
Yeah, I mean, that's it.
Before you release it, you know, there's a reason. I had my last set got delayed. You know, I thought they were going to be out in April last year, and they came out in, like, September. And it was much better than it came out in September. It was fine. I think because I know when we set it up, we were thinking your book would already be out by then. And then I also wanted to bring to light a little bit that you also offer two-day intensive retreats, and I thought maybe you could share with people what happens in those retreats.
Sure. Well, we've offered them to groups and families, couples, individuals. It just depends on, you know, who approaches me and is interested. I have this home. I have, like, well, Cambria has these three-story homes. They're kind of amazing. And I have a bunch of rooms and different studios that I rent out. And when I have a free one, sometimes what I'll do is I'll have someone who's working through a crisis or they're, you know, looking for an intensive to take maybe their practice to the next level, or maybe they've got something physically wrong, or, you know, whatever it is. And they come and they actually stay here and they go to the center and they work with me. And I just kind of do this intensive where it's all inclusive. Of course, it depends on availability of the accommodations, but even if the accommodations here at my, what I like to call my holistic or,
I think Darcy got a little bit faded out there, and it looks like we might have lost her a little bit. In her retreat center, she does have kind of a little retreat center factor there, and we'll see if she pops back on in a minute here on that. And with those two-day retreats, it's, as she was mentioning, they're very, very intensive in what they offer. And Cambria, again, is a beachside community, so it's really wonderful. You're drawing on all that healing energy of the ocean area there. And so she actually takes you in, and it's about spending a weekend there with her, working side by side on that level. And I was actually, I think I had the information right here too on that. But, you know, it's just a wonderful opportunity. And I always encourage people with the intensive. The intensive can include things in her work such as karma clearing, past life, soul retrieval, DNA clearing, releasing blocks, fears, and limiting belief systems. Those are all part of the intensive aspects that are locked in, you know, clearing out those patterns and resolutions of issues and contracts and working with the Akashic records. So she has various levels of intensives, a three-hour intensive, a one-day, a two-day aspect there. So actually multiple aspects of that high-level intensive work there. And I do see that she's kind of popped back in, so we'll get her mic opened up. Welcome back, Darcy.
Sorry about that. I just got knocked right off of my phone. Sorry about that.
That's okay. I just kind of picked up and kept sharing.
Yes, yay. And then I was like, where did that number go? Yeah, I can't remember what we were talking about. Was I answering a question or something?
It was the two-day intensive retreat. And I was mentioning some of the things that could be covered in that. And so if somebody wants to do a two-day intensive retreat with you, let's say, you know, they go, man, Darcy, I have got to get rid of these contracts that are locking me into this issue, and I've got to make this breakthrough because I need to get my business thriving or whatever it is. What do they do? How do they contact you? What do they need to know to set that up with you?
You know, they can contact me through my email. They can call me on the phone, and we can work out a time that works for them and, you know, find out what it is they're working on or what it is that's going on with them. And it's just really test and fit to what their needs, desires, what their motivation is. It's intense, and it's, you know, personal, and it's directed to them. And we just go in, we go deep, and we don't come out for a couple of days. We come up for air and food, you know? But, you know, it's sometimes we need that kind of intensity to push through. And I actually, you know, a lot of people teach large classes. I really enjoy the one-on-one. I really enjoy having the client that I can really dive into and help them clear and change and shift their life. For me, that's really, really fulfilling. Especially, I mean, it can be anybody that's going through something, but especially someone who is already maybe a healer, already has a practice, and, you know, just needs some tools and needs to maybe clear something, because they're 9 times out of 10, they're more open and aware, and they're, like, ready to jump in with me and do the work, and I find that really exhilarating.
I think that this is great, and I'm all for those experiences because I think that that's where those big transformations hit, is when you indulge in those aspects. And is Darcy at amethysthealingcenter.com, is that the best email for people to use for you?
That is the best email for people to use.
Okay.
And from they can, if they go to like amethysthealingcenter.com, they can get my phone number, my information that way. You know, they can call. I call people back, you know, usually right away or at least within 24 hours. And we can set those things up. Yeah.
The exception being when you're in Japan, you may not call back right away.
Yeah, I might, and I'll probably put an outgoing message saying when I'll be back or able to return calls at that point. But I also do phone work, so if anybody, you know, wants a reading or even a spiritual healing, I do my energy healing work. I have clients all over the world, and that I talk to at different times, usually not late at night. Usually I'm up at like 3, 4, 5 in the morning doing work with people in other countries. And I'm better in the morning, early hours. But I do all of this. You know, there's no time and space. The distance doesn't matter. So I do just about all the same work that I do in person, I do over the phone as well.
Perfect. Well, Darcy, it's been a real treat to have you here tonight, and I appreciate you giving us your time. Like I said, again, especially since you're preparing to head out on this trip, and I know that I want to check out your store, and I'm going to take a look at my schedule and see if I can work out just walking around and checking it out while I'm there. We'll see whether that happens or not. But
we'd love to have you. Just, I mean, you could even give Curtis a call and say, hey, I'm headed up. And I'm sure that we'll have someone there to greet you, and you can at least meet some of the people in the collective. And we'd love to have you, whether I'm there or not. I mean, we'd love to have you come check out the center and feel the energy there and meet the collective. That would be awesome. So, and oh my gosh, I've enjoyed this very much. You're right, the Aaron Temple.
Yeah, and then one of these times I'll talk about actually there too. I'm hoping so, definitely. And I've been in contact with Curtis because he's like, you got to let me know when you're coming in and connect with me. So I'm looking forward to that as well. But and it's just kind of my old stomping ground. So, you know, Cambria's got a little piece of my heart there that I think it always will to a certain extent. Just a very unique little spot there. Well, I'm so glad that you're bringing that to the Central Coast. And again, I want to thank you very, very much for your time tonight, Darcy.
Thank you, Jesse. I've enjoyed it so much. And the time just flew by. And thank you for having me. I really had fun.
Thank you. And next week here on Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour, we're going to have Marjorie Brook coming on, and she's going to be sharing her work in the mind-body issue connection. So that's going to be really interesting to take a look at, and discussing how our body is intuitively aligned with our thoughts. And again, my books are out and released, and you can check out my products at jessieannnicholsgeorge1.com. On my products tab there, you'll find that work is on my website. And I've also, by the way, started up an affiliate program. So for anybody who is interested in that, you can check that out on my website. And, of course, the most recent books are on relationships and how to activate the perfect relationship for you. And I've also released, again, several events for 2014. Most of those events can be found at jessieannnicholsgeorge.eventbrite.com. And if you go on my website, because I've got little video tips that I put out every month. I've got courses listed. I've got workshops listed. I'm getting ready to head out to the California area the first week of March. So for those of you that are out in that area, and I would love to have you come and stop by something that I'm doing. I have a few things lined up already. I am going to be doing a book signing at the Mystic Merchant in Solvang, California. That's going to be on Friday afternoon, the 7th, from I believe it's 2 to 4 that day. Saturday, March 8th, I am going to be doing a taping for Bridging Heaven and Earth, a PBS show in the Santa Barbara area. And people are actually welcome to come in and watch the taping, but you do need to contact me if that's something you're interested in. You can email me, which my email is jessie@jessieannnicholsgeorge1.com. I need to work with you on specific times because they have a very short opening for when the doors are open and you can come and go during that taping session unless you choose to be there all day. And then on Sunday, March 9th, I am going to be doing an event in Monrovia. And this is going to be a really unique event because it is a satsang-style event. So it's a Q&A kind of style. It's where you get to come and you get to probe my mind for a while. It is a optional donation, so donation basis. If you absolutely do not have any money, you can still come and participate, you know, where I'm not going to exclude somebody just because they're not making a donation to me. And you can just give as you want. I will have books with me, so there will be books available for purchasing as well in person. I'm happy to sign them while I'm there. And that's going to be happening from 1 to 3 p.m., and that's at City of Monrovia Community Center. And I've actually got that event up on my Facebook page. It's also listed on my website. So lots of things happening. The 8 events that I have spread out, the first one coming up on the spring equinox weekend, you want to check those out. They're going to be amazing. They're very open, very free-flowing, bringing in all the different things from planetary influences and elements and moon cycles and all kinds of cool stuff. So definitely check those out and do it. So the February special is still on for another week. You can try out my work in Angel Insights and Healings, and this is really great for helping you identify and get clarity on what you need to be doing, get focused, handle things that might be challenging you, even overcome physical difficulties with this work. And it helps us move beyond those heavy, unpleasant, uncomfortable situations in our life. Everyone's got those multiple angels ready to help them, and that's what they're here to do. So check those out. It's going to be some really great work. Again, you have one more week to take advantage of that. And I also want to mention, don't forget that we've got several shows right here on Main Street Universe throughout the week. Sunday nights we have Darren Bouquet, reader at Madame Louveau in New Orleans, doing spiritual insights. Monday nights is Randy Goldberg doing Vedic astrology. Tuesdays we have Susan Weed sharing her work in herbs and natural plants. Wednesday nights is our flagship show with Daniel, Janice, and Brett, and they do different topics and fun different things, sometimes have some guests on. Thursdays is Queen Mother Amaku looking at Egyptian culture. And Fridays, we've been having Kevin Baird walking on the sidewalk with his Horizon Oracle Journeys deck, and that is a deck he created. You can learn more about that at templeofgaia.com. And, of course, Friday nights right here is Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. This is Jessie Ann Nichols, George. I want to thank you so much for being here tonight. Again, thank you to all of our listeners, not only on Blog Talk, but those that are streaming live on PEN, also known as Prayer Encounters Network, StreamFinder, TalkStream Live, those that are catching us in the podcast at iTunes and TuneIn.com, or those that are catching us through the YouTube version of the show. And again, a special thanks to Holly Hallowell with HealingJewels.com for being our sponsor tonight. And stay tuned for her third tip of the evening and her third little tidbit of work there. And I look forward to seeing you back here next week as we delve more into activating compassion. Don't forget, if you've enjoyed the show this evening, share it with others. It's going to be available at the same link in our archives, and I'm going to leave you tonight with the song Yearning For, also known as Over and Over by Shem Shai. Thank you so much. I look forward to seeing you again next week, right here on Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. May you enjoy the rest of your weekend, and have an amazing week.
Hi, it's Holly with Healing Jewels. Hey, I encourage you to check out a new documentary that came out called Why They Won't Let Us Cure Cancer. Well, it's not an old concept. The healthcare and pharmaceutical companies stand to lose a lot of money when the cure for cancer is found. But the truth is, there are holistic ways we can heal ourselves that already exist. Ways that don't involve cutting or poisoning. Ways that bring true balance to our bodies and return them to harmony. One such revolutionary therapy is called Healing Jewels. It's needle-free acupuncture delivered via crystals. The acupuncture is programmed into the crystals, and it's activated by your own vital energy, or ki. If you or a loved one is suffering from cancer or any other dis-ease, you've got to check out Healing Jewels. Jewels as in energy, healing, JOULES.com. Namaste.
And if I could see what makes me blind, I would soar to the edge of my mind, and to touch what seems unreal, just to show you the way that I feel. And we are in time with time, one with season of change and size. And we are in tune with the tune, caught in a balance of sun and moon. Oh, deep inside, desire. love is still burning. Deep in your spirit, your heart still yearning. Over and over, life is your lover.